All right, so I got a secret for you guys tonight.
Do you like secrets? Anybody like secrets? You like secrets, Sierra? All right, I got a secret. It's one of those secrets that makes me, like, my heart starts to beat really fast when I think about it, and I, like, my palms sweat, and I get little beads of sweat come down, and I get really excited and breathe heavy and talk really fast because it's such an awesome secret, and I'm really excited about it. All right? Do you want me to tell you? You want to hear my secret? It's, like, the greatest secret. It's awesome. Huh? No? AJ, do you want to hear a secret? No? Then you guys want to hear? I'm not going to tell you then. Okay. So no secret for you. Nope, no secret. You'll have to wait till later. I'll tell you maybe later. I'll tell you the secret. It's awesome. All right. So, you want to hear it? No, I'm not telling you. All right. So, we're in Philippians chapter 4 tonight. So pop open to Philippians chapter 4. We'll start cruising through the book of Philippians. And you guys are very quickly going to remind me what a few things are that we've studied as we've gone through Philippians. Ready, set, go. What did we learn? Who wrote the book? Letter. Paul. Paul wrote the book. It's a letter to who? The Corinthians, right? No, not the Corinthians. Don't say yes. The name of the book is Philippians, so who's it to? It's a letter to the Philippian church. Awesome. And what kind of church was this that he wrote the letter to? They were a good church. Why were they a good church? What do they understand? Yeah, they understood what really mattered. That the gospel and salvation and eternal life, and those were things that really mattered and really lasted. So they were his favorite church, even though what kind of people were they in like human terms? Kind of like from crazy like backgrounds that you're like, whoa, like they had some rough backgrounds and they weren't necessarily everybody's first choice to hang out with. Paul was like, I love you. You're my favorite church. You guys get it because what really matters is the gospel, and you understand that. And then he talked to us a little bit about the mind of Christ. And he said, this mind should be in you as you follow Jesus. Well, what is that mind? Did you guys remember that? Did you hear it when we talked about it? What's the mind of Christ? We talked about three big things that characterize Jesus' mind that we should have if we're believers. So if you didn't hear it or you don't know it, make sure you pay attention tonight so you can take it with you because you need to know it if you're a believer. What are the three things that define the mind of Jesus? Anybody remember? You can cheat. Philippians chapter 2, the very beginning of the chapter, he talks about three things there. Unity. Yeah, the fellowship and unity is super important. We're not about division and breaking people apart and causing fights and anger. Jesus was all about unity and bringing his body together. So that's one, unity. What else? Can't hear you. Yeah. And the selflessness that Jesus put people before himself, even to the point where he died on a cross. I care so much about you. And so selflessness was involved. That's his mindset. That should be in us. Unity, selflessness. And there was something else in there it says. Something about a servant. You read that part? Yeah, he took the form of a servant. And we talked about humility. That he was super humble. The king of the universe took the form of a slave. That's humility. And so unity, humility, and selflessness were things that described the mind of Christ. And there were things that he says should be in us. And we talked a little bit last week. Anybody remember what we talked about? You can cheat. It was the first couple verses of chapter 4. Peek there and tell me what do you see in that? Making you work tonight, only because you sat four rows away from me, so I'm going to make you work now. Well, you're up here, so you don't have to work. You can sit there and just listen if you don't care. No, I'm just kidding. What did he teach us last week in the beginning of chapter 4? Huh? You guys have some, like, I wish you could see. I'm going to take a picture of you and have Dave put it on the screen so you can see your faces. You have, like, scowls on right now. I feel like your linebacker's about to tackle me into the ground. That's what you look like. Like you're on the line, you're about to kill me. All right? Smile a little bit. Be happy to be here. What does it say in the beginning of chapter 4 that we learned last week? What did he tell us? Yeah, about joy and rejoicing. And why was that so strange that a dude like Paul would tell us that? Any ideas? What? He's in prison. He's having like the worst possible stuff happen to him right now. And he's telling us to rejoice. That's really, really important for the passage we're about to look at tonight. Because he's about to take it up one notch. He's not just saying, hey, listen, rejoice always. And, check it out, again, I'm going to tell you, rejoice. Let me repeat this, because I don't think you really either heard me or believed me the first time. Now he's going to go from there and tell us this. So look at chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 10 tonight. It says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord. He's not just like telling us to do it. He's saying, this is what I do. I rejoice greatly in the Lord. Not just a little bit, but a lot. In the Lord, that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you've been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. All right, stop right there for a second. Let's just look at that one piece. Because he's been talking about, I'm in prison. Rats are biting me. I'm being beaten by guards. I'm like starving half the time. They give me bread. Like, I am living a disastrous life right now. And it's hard. And I'm trying to be a believer that shows the love of Christ and shows joy in my heart. But I'm sitting here in probably the worst possible scenario I could be. And the best thing I could tell you is I write this letter is that you need to rejoice. You need to be full of joy. And now he turns and says, look, I'm doing this. I'm not just telling you over and over to do it. I'm doing it. And if I can sit here and do it, then I believe that you can do this too. And it's not because of who you are or who I am. It's not based on your DNA or how you were raised and how you grew up. You know what it's based on? He's about to tell us. It's the secret. Paul has a secret too. And he wants to tell us that secret tonight. In a few verses, he's going to kind of clue us in on that. But he says, I'm able to rejoice greatly. And there's a secret to it. It's not something you could just like wake up or go buy a book and say, how can I have joy in my life? And you read this book and everything's going to be better. Now, some of you guys are like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm a happy person. Like, everything's great in my life right now. Like, I'm getting good grades at school. I'm dating the person I want to date. I have all the money that I need. My parents hooked me up with money, or I have a good job, or I have a car that I want. I have whatever. I'm having a good life, Rob. So it just doesn't make sense what you're talking about. And then there's some of you that came in, and it shows all over your face that that's not the deal. That's not your situation tonight. Because when you walked in the door, you brought the pain. And you're sitting here around some people that might not be in the good boat that you might be in tonight, but recognize that there might be someone right next to you tonight who walked in with that pain. And they carried it in the door and they sat it down right next to you. And when we talk about Paul and the sufferings he's going through, they're like, amen, like, I get that. I understand financial difficulty. My family understands that. I understand what it feels like to have relationships that are broken in my life. I know what it feels like to look at mom and dad as they fight or get divorced in front of my eyes, and I have to deal with that pain and can do nothing to stop it. I understand what it's like to visit the hospital and watch a loved one suffer in the bed, and I can do nothing to stop it. I understand pain. And so as you're hearing Paul's pain, you're like, yep, I get it. I understand that. And Paul says, in the middle of that, as I'm here, I rejoice greatly. And you're like, what? You're nuts. Because I'm feeling it too, Paul. I get you, Paul. And I ain't rejoicing greatly. My heart's not just overwhelmingly full of joy and happiness because I'm going through some stuff that kills. There's some people in my life that worry me and break my heart. How are you rejoicing greatly? Now, Paul has some really good reasons here, as specifically as he talks to them. All right, notice what he's saying, because he's not just saying a fact. Like, I rejoice greatly. This is a bigger conversation than that. He says, I rejoice greatly. Look at the next three words. In the Lord. I wasn't just born this way. My DNA, my makeup is that I'm just a happy person. You know some happy people? You guys know happy people? That like, you just think of that person and you know they're always going to be giggling, or they're always going to be smiling, or they can't be serious. There's no way, Sierra, that they could ever be serious. They're laughing and they're happy. They're just characterized that way. And it seems like no matter what would ever happen to them, they're never going to stop smiling because you can't get them to as hard as you try. No, I'm just kidding. But like, you know people like that? That's not what Paul's talking about. You're not just born one day that way. You don't just wake up like that one day. You don't learn how to be that way. There's something that can make you that way. And he says, my joy doesn't come from me or my makeup or anything inside of me or anything I've learned. My joy, this great joy, is in the Lord. It's in the Lord. And there's a circumstance here that he's specifically talking about that's giving him joy right now in the middle of all that. But it's the Lord that's the source. And you're like, uh-oh, well, that's where you lost me, Rob. Like, I was into it up until that point, but once you say in the Lord, I'm going to have joy in the Lord, how does that even happen? That's so up here. What does that even mean? How do I get it? How do I go from here in this real life to getting joy from the Lord that I can't see, I can't touch? Where do you get it? How does that actually happen? I hear adults say it. I hear grown-ups come and be like, rejoice in the Lord. You're like, what does that mean? I would love to if you would just tell me how to actually get joy from the Lord. Like, how does that happen? And Paul says, he's going to point right here at this circumstance. What is this thing doing? At this circumstance that right now is giving him joy. And look at this. He says, that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Now, that thing's giving him joy, but understand this. He's recognizing that your church, Philippians, I'm in prison. And you guys are you're like taking care of me. He sent this dude named Epaphroditus, and he's like bringing me stuff, and he's taking care of me and loving on me and making sure my needs are met. But that's not where my joy is coming from, that circumstance. I'm recognizing that that's only happening because of what the Lord has done. So that's an awesome circumstance. That's an awesome thing that's happening, but my joy really comes from a bigger place. It comes from the Lord as He interacts in my life. And you're like, so how do I get joy in the Lord? Like, where does that come from? Here's going to be just an answer, and this isn't the end answer of all things, okay? Paul's going to give us the secret. But I want to say this to you. Maybe you're blind. What? I can see you right now, Rob. Is he a round man standing in front of me? It's you. Like, I'm not blind. I get it. Sometimes we don't see these circumstances that God's in control of. And we don't give Him the credit where credit is due, as God is doing such amazing, awesome things in our lives that we're blind to. And it might not seem like a huge thing because Paul's still in prison. So they're showing up and they're helping this guy out. This church is bringing Paul some stuff and taking care of him. But listen, he's still in prison. He's still suffering. And sometimes we get so focused on the fact that the suffering and the pain is still present, it's still there, we miss the entire point that an almighty God showed up in a small circumstance to go, I'm right here. You see me? I didn't forget you're in prison. I know you're here. I'm here with you. I'm bringing you stuff through these people. This is me working through life. And sometimes we're so blind to those things. Sometimes we don't see the blessings and the touch of God in the small things because we're so focused on the prison cell. And here comes Epaphroditus bringing him things. And he goes, there's God. God just showed up. Not that Epaphroditus was God, but that God was working through him to go, I'm blessing you and I love you and I remember you. Do you need to hear that tonight? Are you here and you need to hear that? You just need to hear God's voice go, I love you. I haven't forgotten you. I'm in the pain with you. Whatever your prison cell is tonight, God's like, here I am. It might seem small in the way that He's doing that. Maybe it's just the fact that this is the message tonight and God's speaking to you through His Word, going, I love you. Don't give up. Don't let the pain win. Don't get distracted by the prison. See my love through other things and the ways I'm touching your life. Don't be blind to it. Open your eyes up to see the Lord working. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord because of this concern. And here's another thing I want us to see. God loves to work through His people. Sometimes we're waiting for the Lord Almighty to show up outside that prison cell and just be like, you know, like, whoa, that's awesome. Like, you'd see that in a superhero movie. You're like, God, show up! We're sending an angel with a flaming sword and, like, bread, and on the end of his sword, he has, like, meat just... He, like, puts it in my cell, and I'm like, stay clam, this is great! You know, like, we want the big show. We're like, God, show the miracle. All right, maybe that's just me. Somehow my cell became the Brazilian steakhouse. I don't know. Anyway, we're looking for that, but God's like, I love to work through my people. You know you're called the body of Christ? If you're a believer, you're the body of Christ. Don't you think he's going to move and act and interact with people through his body if he calls it his body? He wants to move his hands. He wants to move his mouth. He wants to speak. He wants to walk. He wants to interact with us. That involves the body moving, and you, believers, are the body. Are you moving? Are you letting God move you so he can interact with the world? Because he's choosing to do it that way. He's choosing to use you that way. That's an awesome honor to be used by the God of all creation, to be his body. And here, this Philippian church who understood what mattered, God's like, I'm working through you. And here's Paul sitting in a cell suffering, and he's like, I'm taking my body and I'm moving him. And this ragtag group of Philippians that nobody else wanted to be around understood what really mattered, and God worked through them and sent them to Paul in this time of distress. And as he's there hurting and in pain, he's able to rejoice because God just showed up. He walked his feet of his body through Epaphroditus right to his prison cell. Are you being used that way? Are you opening your heart up to say, God, use me? Are you loving one another that way? Because there's the question, if we're really the family of God, are we acting like a family? Are we just doing this once a week deal where we show up and go home? Are you serving each other's hearts? You know what I mean by that? The brokenness that we just talked about that's sitting around the room? Are you aware of it? Are you looking for it? Do you even care about it? Because there's some hurting people. I guarantee you. And he's saying, hey, body, go to them. Love them. Be the body. And minister to that hurt. And there we could see God through you showing up, saying, I didn't forget you. Here I am. Don't focus on the cell. Don't focus on the prison, but focus on what God's doing through his people and be willing to be used that way. All right? I remember when I was in college, and it was my very first mission trip. It was awesome. I loved it. It changed my life. It was obviously to Guatemala because I always talk about it. Yeah, I know. I get it. Whatever. You're going to hear it again. So I go to Guatemala. It's my first time. I may have even shared this story. I don't care. I'm going to tell you again. So I went, and this thing like changed my life. What happened here? My first year was terrible. It's not like the ministry is now. Yeah, I don't know why I ever went back to Guatemala after this experience. I go. I'm 16. I show up. I think I can rule the world. I'm great. And like the next day, I find out that diarrhea can stop you directly in your tracks. I'm like, what's going on? I'm supposed to like lead the country of Guatemala to Jesus, and here I am. I can't get off the toilet. I'm stuck. I can't go anywhere. I can't talk to people. It's embarrassing. I am a mess. So then very quickly after that, I realized that sometimes stomach bugs don't stop at just diarrhea. They like to make you throw up at the same time that you're on the toilet too. It's a crazy experience if you ever felt it. It's like being twisted in half and things come out both ends. It's terrible. So there I am enjoying that fun. And the whole team is about to go out to the jungle and see all this awesome stuff and meet people and share the gospel and do everything I went to do. And I realize I'm not going with them. So I decide I'll just go sit on this like lawn chair outside while they're gone and just like, you know, stay by a bathroom, but be outside and enjoy the sun. I'll get a tan while I'm here. I'm in Guatemala. I may as well get a tan. So I'm out there tanning. I rub this lotion stuff on me. I'm like, I'm going to be so dark when I go home. It's going to be great. You know, like, and I'm laying out there and I fall asleep. A couple hours later, I get woken up. I'm purple, like purple. The next morning, I wake up still with, you know, the bodily functions happening and feeling sick. I have these blisters that are like this big all the way across me and down my whole like chest.
this big, full of like this green pus. They're like second degree burns, I guess, all over my body. So what has to happen is the nurse comes up and she takes this needle and she injects it into my each blister and then sucks the pus out. Then she fills up another needle full of this like antibiotic and injects it back in. Ooh, that was fun. That was a good time. So I'm getting like, and then I'm just, as I'm laying in my hammock after all this happens, I'm like trying to chill and forget all my pain. This wonderful centipede crawls down my hammock onto my leg right here. And I don't notice anything until I feel a little tickle on my leg. I'm like, what was that? I whack it off and I see this ugly thing crawl off. No big deal. So an hour later, I look down at my leg and there is the perfect shape of a centipede all blistered up all down my leg. Fun. So that was just to add to my... I could go on. I'm not going to because none of you will ever go back to Guatemala again. So nothing this bad has ever happened before. Just one thing after another happened to me. The team decides they're going to go away for like a couple days. Like they're not coming back to the compound. They're going to go on this extended trip to this place called Peten, which is like this amazing, awesome place that I've been dying to see my whole life. I want to see this place. I can't go. I'm even worse now. I'm really sick. I'm just, it's bad. I have blood poisoning from the sun. It's bad. So I'm laying there and, on mosquitoes, something got me. So I'm laying there. I can't go. On this trip, the president of our university happened to go. And this is a pretty big university. If you know Liberty, it's kind of like a bigger university. Not just like this little, there's 10 people. Everybody knows the president. It was kind of a big deal. This guy, people were like, wow, like he's here. And he's on our trip for some reason, just checking it out. And he's obviously wanting to see everything because that's why he came. And the team's loading up on the bus. Everybody's getting on. I'm sitting there in my hammock, oh, you know, like feeling bad for myself, popping my blisters. It's great. And he comes up and he sits down in the hammock next to me and just lays down. And I'm like, nobody was there to tell, but I was like, look who it is. Like, I can't tell anybody. This is awesome. Like, why is he here? And he starts talking to me. And he's like, hold on a second. He gets up, he goes to his room, he comes back and he's got like this CD player. Like back in the day, it was like a Walkman because, you know, that's how old I am. And so, you guys still use Walkmans? Walkman? Walkman? How do you say that word? No, you guys don't know what that is? It's a little CD player portable thing. Yeah, anyway. So he brings that in like the stack of CDs for me to listen to. I'm like, what is going on? Why is this dude staying here? And he's like, starts talking to me and he's like, oh no, I'm not going. He's like, I'm not leaving you behind. I'm going to stay here the whole time. I'm going to take care of you, talk to you, make sure you have everything that you need. And here I am thinking, what? You're the president of our university. There's plenty of like peon teachers who are like first year teachers you could have sent over here to like stay with me or just sent like somebody else. You could have just left me if you wanted to. But the dude's like, I'm not going. I'm staying with you. But I still remember that this president of the university gave up that trip to be with me and to stay and just to keep me company. I'll tell you what, when he handed me that stack of CDs and that CD player, I still today talk about it. It's like 10 years later. I'm still telling people about it. It made a difference in my life. And you're like, it's just a small thing. It's some dude like that we don't even know with like a CD player. If it's such a small thing, why do I still remember it? See, sometimes those small things get forgotten. They get overlooked. That small action of love and sacrifice that we're called to do. Remember the mindset of Christ? Unity, humility, and selflessness. Sometimes being the body, even in small ways, don't get forgotten. So some goofy youth pastor 10 years later is still talking about this guy's small act of kindness. God wants to use you. That's not a secret. That's not something you just need to like figure out one day. It's obvious. God wants to use you. Some of you, He's already powerfully working through. And some of us need to just be like, God, do it. Like, let me open my heart up. Use me as your body. It won't be forgotten. And so, Paul's talking about it. Paul's like, man, you guys have done an awesome thing. Thank you for being the body. And look what he says next in verse 11. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. He's like, listen, guys, I'm not like begging for money. I'm not trying to say this because I need something else from you or whatever. He's like, I don't need anything. And they're like, what? You don't need anything? Why do you keep talking like this? Do you remember where you are? He's been in there too long, y'all. The dude's going nuts.
Yeah, not enough water. He's hallucinating. Paul, you have plenty of needs. He's like, I'm not saying this because I need anything. And here's why. Because I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances are. Well, there's a lesson. There's a lesson. I'll tell you what I need to learn. No matter what the circumstances, no matter how hard life gets, no matter what happens, you can still be content. There's got to be a secret to that. Because I've tried. Believe me, I've tried. And some people, I am sad to report, have looked all over the world for things to fill that hole. To stop that pain, to dull it, to make it not seem so painful. You got people running to bars trying to drink and cover up the pain that they're feeling. You got people getting caught up in drugs. You got people in relationships and sex trying to forget the pain that they're feeling. I don't know who I am, so let's go figure it out by just dabbling in all this sin and trying to figure these things out. I have a hurt in my heart. Let's go try all this stuff and get rid of the hurt. It goes on and on and on, and the world is full of it. Here's Paul saying there's a secret, because when I'm in the middle of that stuff, I don't have to run to the world to fix the pain. I'll tell you what, as humans, we do it and it doesn't get easier. The older you get, the more pain's gonna come, and the deeper life gets and the higher things pile up over your head, and you're like, I need a way out. You can look all over the place. Some of you in this room may be the ones that try that. And I pray to God that one day, if you're stuck in the middle of that, God would bring this word back to you in that day and say, get out of it. You're not going to find the answer there. Paul says, I can be in the middle of that and still be content. And I go, how? Tell me your secret. Show me the answer to this, Paul. He says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I was a Pharisee. I made big bucks. People loved me. I had all there was to have. Like, I was the guy to be. Everybody wanted to be who I was. I had men who obeyed me. I was in charge of things. I was respected. Like, I wore the finest things. It was like, I was the guy. I know what it was like to have all this stuff. I know what it's like right now as I sit here to tell you, I know what it's like to be in need. Some of y'all are sitting and you're like, man, life wouldn't be so hard if I had, you name it. If my parents had a little bit more money, it could give me this. If I could just have a better job, you know, in the afternoons and get me more of this. And you're thinking like, stuff is going to fix the problem. Not having as much will fix my problem that I have inside. I'll be happier if I have more stuff. If this person likes me, if I'm more accepted by that group of people, then things will be better, right? Paul's like, I've had both. I've been accepted by the world. And I know what it's like to be spit on by soldiers in prison. And I'm telling you, I know the secret. He says, I've learned the secret of being content in any, in every situation. He knows the secret. He wants you to know the secret too. He wants you to understand the secret that can only be found right here. He says, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, no matter what you got or what your circumstances are in life, there's a way to be content, and it's not contingent. It doesn't depend on any of that stuff. How cool is that? I mean, it's ironic and it makes no sense at all, because we think like, when good stuff happens, you feel good. When bad stuff happens, you feel bad. That's just how life is. And Paul's like, whether good stuff's happening or bad stuff's happening, I feel the same. You a robot? Like, how? He's like, I know the secret. I'll tell you what, that's a secret I want to know. He says this. This is the most misused verse probably in the entire Bible. All right? Some of you guys have heard me say this. This is like one of my pet peeves, but you're going to learn it again tonight. It says, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Right away, we posted on our sports fields and our classrooms and all over the place in our notebooks. And anywhere we want to be able to do the impossible, that's our chant verse. I can do everything! We'll yell it out. And obviously, I'm all about pulling my microphone off, apparently. I'm all about superheroes and being like, yeah, do stuff, be strong, whatever. That's not what this verse is saying. If you've used this in the past, don't feel bad. A lot of us have, most of us have, I have, I'm guilty of this. But we use this verse to think like, I can do everything, because that's kind of how they've translated it here. But as we tear apart what the Greek says, which, you know, I love the Greek, so don't be mad at me for that. I'm going to tell you tonight, all right? It says this. First of all, I can do everything through Him. The Greek actually says the word Christos. You guys know, what does that sound like? Christos. Does that sound like an English word? I hope so. Christ. Wait a minute. But the verse, I can do all things through Him. The word actually says, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. And then I looked in a little deeper to see what this, like, I can do means. You know, like, is that like the word that says, I can do anything? Is that what that means? And that word actually there is translated, I can endure or withstand anything. I can take it. Remember what Paul's talking about? Keep it in context. I'm sitting in prison and bad things are beating me down. He's not saying I can stand up and pick up the prison cell like Superman. He's saying, I can take everything the world has to throw at me. I can endure it. It's a totally different concept of how we normally use this verse. As I sit here in pain and struggle and trials are coming and Satan's shooting arrows at me and life is beating me down, I can endure it. I could take it through Christ. Not because I'm strong. Not because I've determined to just make it through. Not even because I'm a good person, but because of Christ, I can endure this pain. I can endure whatever comes my way. And then it says, through Christ, who gives me the power to endure. It's an enduring, it's a withstanding power. Like, Christ gives me this enduring power so I can stand up, and as it comes, I can point at Him. He's the one blocking me. He's my shield. He's my protector. He's my refuge. He's my rock. Just read the Psalms and hear how it cries out the ways that Jesus does this for us. He tells us all through the Psalms. I will defend you. I will protect you. And He's saying here, no matter what comes your way, Paul, as you sit in that prison cell, you can have joy because Christ is your shield. And you could take it. Now, am I saying that we shouldn't trust God that we can do things? And have power to do things? No, I'm not saying that. There are other verses that clearly say that with God, all things are possible, right? I'm just saying that this verse doesn't say it. And I believe that when we read Scripture, we shouldn't, just because it's true, we shouldn't take one verse and say, well, I know this is true, and this verse doesn't really say it, but it sounds like it, so let's use it for that. That's what we'd be doing here. We're not going to do that because we're going to honor what Scripture actually says. I do believe all things are possible with God because Scripture says it. But this verse isn't saying that. This verse is saying that I can withstand whatever comes at me because Christ is giving me the power to do it. I remember, I might have told you this story too. You guys just hear all my stories. I don't care. Hear it again. It's fun to hear stories a second time because then you kind of know it, right? So I'm climbing this mountain. I'm looking to see who remembers my story. Some of you guys are like, I remember it. I got lots of mountain stories, so it might not be the right one. And it's in New Hampshire, up in New Hampshire. Anybody know where that is? Yeah? I'm from Massachusetts, so New Hampshire's like way up high in the north, above Massachusetts. And they have really big mountains. And there's this one mountain my dad always wants to like climb. He loves this mountain, so we always used to go, and he'd take us, and we'd climb this whole mountain. It's like a whole day worth of walking to get from the bottom to the top of this thing. And when you start to get near the top, it's called Mount Washington. If you've ever heard of it. When you start to get near the top, it gets to this point where all of a sudden everything just turns to snow. Now at the bottom, you're wearing shorts and a t-shirt. It gets hot. It's in the middle of summer, but the top of the mountain still has snow caps all around it. So when you get to the top of this thing, you're like, why is there a big like piece of snow there? It makes no sense. It's not even that cold. And you're like, we're pretty high up at this point. And all of a sudden the trail disappears and now it just turns into like big rocks and I'm already tired. We've already stopped for lunch. I've already eaten. And I'm a fat kid, you know? I'm like, I can't keep doing this. It's up and up and now it's getting steeper and there's these huge rocks you gotta like climb over and I'm exhausted and now it's starting to get darker and later and I'm like, I can't do it. So finally I just like pass out on this rock. I just lay there. I was like, I'm done. And my dad's like, you can't be done. Like, we're not out of here. Like, we're not done. Somehow I happened to lay down on a rock right next to a sign, right? And on this sign just happened to say, as I'm laying there, like, I'm not going any further. My dad's like, look, the sign that says right there, it says, any trespassers after dark will be removed from the mountain. We've got to get out of here. And I'm going, hallelujah! Come remove me! This is great! This is the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life! I'm like, yes! So I just lay back and I'm like, let them come get me, you know? I don't think that was the point of the sign, but I was willing. Arrest me. Take me out of here. Put me in jail. I don't care. It's better than being right here, right now. And I remember this moment of just being like, I give up. I just give up. When I think about some of the trials I've gone through in my life, some of the hurts I've felt, some of the dark, deep times of my life, I remember the moments where I had to realize, God, I give up. I can't do it. I can't do this on my power or just determined to like get through this. It hurts. It's breaking me. There's a moment spiritually where we have to stop in the middle of that pain and just fall on the rock and go, look, I give up. I give up. That doesn't mean we've failed. So automatically you're thinking like, oh, I guess you failed. We have to realize that when I give up, all of a sudden, Christ steps in. He says, you realized it? That's good. Because you never could. It was all a delusion anyway. I'm here. I'm your protector. I'm your rock. I'm your shelter. And no matter what's coming at you tonight, as you guys sit here in Firehouse in this building with this group of people, whatever you're feeling or going through or worried about or hurting over, can I ask you to give up? Can you hear the voice of Jesus saying, let me do it? Let me be your strength to get you through and overcome and withstand whatever it is that's hurting and breaking you tonight? Because it's so much better when you decide, Jesus, I need you to do this thing. For some of y'all, you're fighting this whole deal with like, who am I? Like, you need Christ. Can I just be straightforward with you tonight? You're sitting here wondering, why is my life like this? But you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior? Maybe tonight's the night that you need to say, Christ, I need you. It's been this big game. I've never actually surrendered to you and made you my Savior. Maybe you need to surrender that tonight. And believer, if you're sitting here tonight and you're hurting and you know Christ, let me challenge you tonight to just surrender to Him. And start looking for the small ways that He's saying, here I am. I love you. Don't overlook this because you're looking at the prison. And if you're good, if you're like, Rob, you're not talking to me. None of this has hit me tonight. I'm feeling great tonight. Be the body. Because there's people that are hurting. And God wants to work through you, His body, to start ministering and touching those people who are. Step up. Do that work. Let Him work through you. You close your eyes for just a second as the band comes up. I don't want this to be another moment of, here we go again. Rob said, close your eyes, so I'm going to like get my nap in because he's boring and I had to listen to him for 30 minutes. Will you take these next couple seconds seriously with me? Will you do some business with Jesus? And maybe you don't even know which one of those categories you fit in, or you're in a totally different one. I totally missed it. But the good thing is I don't have to do it tonight. The Holy Spirit does, and God does, and He's working in your heart. And so I want you to ask Him, Lord, You're my King. God, will You show me where I need to surrender tonight? And if you're hurting and you're broken tonight, will You please, will You listen to His voice? Will You say, God, speak to me. God, I hurt. Lord, touch my heart. And if you're here tonight and you're like, man, I've never accepted Christ. I've never surrendered my heart to Him, and I need to do that. Will you do me a favor? Will you just pop your hand up so I can see it and pray for you tonight? So like, Rob, I haven't done this. I haven't trusted, and tonight is the night. The Holy Spirit's calling me. I know it. He's convicting my heart right now. I need Jesus. Will you just pop your hand up quietly just so I can see it and pray for you? If that's you tonight, will you please stop and talk to a leader or me after the service is over and just grab us and say, hey, listen, I need to talk about this Jesus you were talking about tonight. And if you're like, Rob, I'm in that other category. Like, I need to surrender. I need Jesus to take this pain and be my protector. I hurt. Can you just pop your hand up? Because I want to pray for you. I know what it feels like to hurt. Can I just see your hand so we can be praying for you? Those of you guys with your hands up, please don't leave this place without coming to talk to me or a leader, because we love you. We want to be the body for you. We want to come and help you through whatever pain and pray with you and whatever it might be. God told us to do that. We take it serious. But come speak to us, please, on your way out tonight. And just take a second and just talk to God tonight. Father, we love you so much. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you empower us to withstand whatever trial comes, whatever pain might be in our hearts. Thank you that Jesus Christ has freed us from this earth and from this pain and from sin, that we have a guarantee and a promise from you. We will be reunited with our Maker for all eternity. Thank you. God, we don't deserve it. Thank you. Touch the hearts of those who are hurting tonight. God, give them peace. Take their pain away. Those that might be here that don't know you, God, I beg you, grab their hearts, Holy Spirit, and bring them to your salvation. I want to invite you guys to come up and worship as we close our service.